Welcome to the She Built This podcast, where we are sharing the stories of professionals and entrepreneurs who are on a mission to create the new norm by following their dreams and making them a reality. I'm your host, Emily Aborn, and together we are inspiring, growing, and giving you the tools you need to bring ideas to life so you can build whatever this means for you. Hi, welcome back to the She Built This podcast. All right, really quick before I introduce today's guest, I want to tell you the backstory of how I discovered today's guest. So, my friend Christina, we go way back. The way that we met originally is that I was friends with her younger sister. Her younger sister and I were actually friends in high school and college. We were in the same grade. Now, when we were young, we would hang out with Christina and all of her cool older friends. And then, as it turns out, as life goes, I kind of like lost touch with most people from that era of my life, including my friend from high school and college. And then, because of how life goes again, you know, the way it takes you, the way worlds collide and then recollide, it's sort of flip-flopped. And now I'm really close friends with Christina. We've actually had this, it all sort of came full circle. And Christina and I have had this now decade-long friendship of our very own, which is kind of crazy. So one of the things that Christina and I talk about often, and I talk about with a lot of my friends often, is about friendships. And that is specifically female friendships in workplaces, personal female friendships in business, and all of the kind of interesting dynamics and lessons therein. Christina and I often share podcasts that we listen to or books that we're reading or, you know, like our own philosophical spins on life. We basically solve the world's problems pretty much every single day. The way I discovered today's guest was due to a recommendation of a single podcast episode that Christina had sent me about female friendships. Now, this is why I always talk about how podcasting has changed my life, and I do think that it holds so much power to change all of our lives. Just like the simple exchange of one little podcast episode can change your life forever. And that's exactly what happened when I listened to this podcast, because I went down the rabbit hole and started listening to other podcasts, and it really helped me make some sense of a lot of the experiences that I've had. Because I don't know about you, but I think that no matter who you are, friendships can be challenging. And, you know, when you really think about it, it's kind of mind-blowing. It's like these two totally different chemical compositions of humans, not to mention their past experiences. And they're just these two completely different perceptions of the world. They come together, they share experiences, and they do life together and learn from each other and like actually enjoy each other's company. And then sometimes, of course, those chemical compositions come together, they combust, they explode. Sometimes they're abrasive to each other, either on purpose or accidentally. Like, as the young people say, it is complicated. It can be complicated. And I've had, and I don't know about you, but I've really had my fair share of complex friendships and relationships, which is totally another topic for another day. But it's something I've actually really struggled with a lot throughout my life. I really value people who really listen, who really care. I mean, really, really care. People who really, really want to share and exchange and get excited about new ideas. And then, you know what? In general, I just think maybe I'm a little bit weird. I think I've always been a little bit weird. And I think that it takes a certain person to appreciate that versus just think, oh, she's just a little bit weird. So I've really throughout my entire life, you know, I've done a lot of like journaling on this and thinking on this, but there have been a lot of friendships that I feel like I've really, really kind of struggled my way through until this past year. But I've really come to see just how important it is for me to have friendships that contain reciprocity, trust, respect, and mutual appreciation. And actually, when I say appreciation, I think I mean delight or like excitement to actually be around each other. So those are really, really important factors to me in my friendships. Those are my pillars, if you will. And I never would have known that those were actually things that I really, really needed in order to have fulfilling friendships. So it's been this year where I've really started to not just know those things, but also know what they feel like for me and what they mean to me. And I've been able to see which friendships have them, which relationships have them, and which ones maybe don't. Maybe which ones are not reciprocal or are not trusting or not respectful or don't contain lots of mutual appreciation and delight. So in an effort to make a little bit more sense of female friendships, help you find what is most important for you in those areas, whether it be in business or at work or just your personal friendships. Also, how do we even find these like elusive friends, right? These elusive friendships that maybe we're looking for, maybe that we're longing for. So in an effort to make a little bit more sense of all this, I said to myself, I'm just going to ask Danielle, whose podcast I love, if she will come speak to us on this matter because she is an expert in the matter. Danielle Bayer Jackson is a female friendship coach. She is a female friendship coach and educator who speaks specifically about platonic women relationships and the art and also the science behind it. Her podcast is called Friend Forward, and I highly recommend the podcast. What I love is you can basically search through it and find episodes on whatever you're kind of wanting to learn about or maybe something that you're facing, something that is a challenge for you right now. So I'll make sure I include a link to that in the show notes. But it really is a podcast that is dedicated to teaching us how to create and maintain better female friendships. So in my conversation with Danielle, I was so excited that she said yes. We get into what makes female friendships so unique and different. Why are they so hard sometimes? But also, why are they so important for us? We answer kind of like whether or not you should strive to find friends that are outside of business, outside of entrepreneurship. What does that look like? Where do those lines get blurry and where are they okay? And then we also talk about just like in general, how to find friends that maybe feel really, really aligned for you. So I can't wait for you to hear this episode. Danielle's full bio and all of her social media accounts are going to be in the show notes for you, as well as the information for her new book that just came out called Fighting for Our Friendships. And if you like the sounds of her message and what she's all about, I would highly encourage you to check out that podcast. Like I said, she literally has an episode for any topic or issue you will encounter in your female friendships. She's a world of knowledge about the art and science of what makes for successful connections and also what to do when maybe they implode, or you feel like you're going to implode. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Danielle. Hi, Danielle, and welcome to the She Built This podcast.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's so exciting to have you. I've listened to your podcast, obviously. I know you're a pro at this, and you have a lot to say about female friendships specifically. So before we kind of get into where my curiosity lies, I just want to hear in your own words, like sort of how you got into the work of talking about female friendships, and specifically why those tend to be, let's just call it more difficult, more challenging.
Yeah, it's funny because whenever I go to parties and people are like, so what do you do? I kind of take a minute to just be like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, because they're like, is that a real job? But, you know, I actually started as a high school teacher teaching 12th graders. And it's the main thing they wanted to talk about between class and after school was their friendships, mostly the young girls. And I always joke that I have the pencil eraser marks on the seating chart to prove it. You know, they're switching back and forth, and it was all this stuff. And then I got into public relations, and I was surprised to learn pretty quickly that even my high achieving charismatic woman clients, it was the same stuff, but it was more private because there's more shame about being an adult woman and feeling like you can't get your friendships together. And so that's when I was like, man, is there research to support, you know, what's going on? And for the past 6 years, I've been studying what the research has to say about women's cooperation, communication, and conflict. And to your second question about, you know, why are these friendships more complicated? I actually looked up the word complicated a while ago because it so often is used in conjunction with the phrase female friendship. And it says a merging of intersecting parts. And I thought that's exactly what friendship among women is. We bring so many intersecting parts to the table, unlike our male counterparts. And so inevitably, sometimes things get sticky.
I think that's a perfect spot to jump in because I want to talk about the intersecting part of business and friendship. And, you know, I think that a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners struggle in the area of female friendships. Or I think that they find a lot of their female friendships only through business. So I was just kind of wondering if you've heard or have an opinion on why maybe entrepreneurship adds kind of an extra layer to female friendships and what that might look like.
I love this topic so much because I have found that people who are entrepreneurs or in some kind of high level managerial role or something like that, there is a very special kind of isolation sometimes that they go through because they have no problem being social. They have an expansive social network. But when it comes to the question of feeling seen and satisfied in those relationships, sometimes that's not there and they're not experiencing that. I think that's for a couple of things. One, a lot of times when we meet people, we've got the business hat on. So we're leaning into our achievements because that's our identity. So we're talking about work, we're talking about clients. And so people don't ever really get to know you outside of that identity. And a lot of us have not entertained other parts of ourselves because we're so business focused. And then when it comes to experiencing hard times at 11 o'clock at night, you don't have anybody to call. Because no one knows you in that way, which is more intimate and vulnerable. I notice women also have issues asking for help, high achieving entrepreneurs, because so much of our identity rests in being self-sufficient. Well, friendship is all about getting and giving support. But a lot of us are not getting the support we need because we're not going to share that we have those gaps or weaknesses or inadequacies. And so I've noticed those two things being reasons why. And the last thing I'll say is a lack of time. And forming closeness and friendships requires time. But if you've pushed friendship to the margin of your life because the number one thing you prioritize is work, it's going to have a ripple effect on your social life for sure.
Do you think the better choice would be to build friendships outside of business or, like, given what you've said, or really try to focus on forging some of those friendships within the entrepreneurial space or, you know, or fellow leaders?
That's a great question. And I think it might be a mix of both. I actually just wrote an article for Harvard Business Review about developing friendships at work. And I know a lot of people are like, oof, I don't know. I like to keep my professional distance. And I totally get it. You got to do what feels comfortable for you. But I will say the research shows that on average, we're going to spend 90,000 hours over our lifetime at work. And some people might see it as practical to say, well, I might as well curate some friendships where I spend most of my time. So I kind of get from a practicality standpoint saying, hey, I see these folks every day, my business partners and things like that. I'm open to, you know, taking things to a more, you know, platonic personal level. But I would just say when you're talking about forming friendships, I would encourage you to be cognizant of which identity you're always leading with. And if it's always work, it's always your accomplishments and achievements, you will forever feel like you are not seen and deeply known in your friendships because that's all that you bring to the table in that relationship. And so I would challenge that woman who's struggling with that to say, what else do I like to do? What else can I offer outside of who I am professionally? And I think people might be surprised at what comes up.
Yeah, I think it's important to have friendships that even if they are business owners, it doesn't have anything to do with your actual business that you're running. So I guess my question would be like, how do you even find those friendships, especially if you're spending 90,000 hours of your life at work? Like that doesn't leave a lot of time for finding female friends.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? You hear that number and you're like, oh my God, well, I feel hopeless. You know, there are a couple things. So the one exercise I like to do to help people even know how to start moving their feet, like what direction to start going, because it can feel overwhelming, is to, you know, do the exercise of filling in the blank for the statement, I am blank. And whatever you would use to fill that in, a part, something that describes your identity. So it might be, you know, for me, I might say, I am Black. I am a woman. I am a mother. I am a creative. The next question becomes, am I in community for any of those aspects of my identity? where am I with other moms who kind of just know me in that way and they can offer resources and support? Where am I as, you know, a woman where I feel like, oh, I'm with other women, they get it. Or for my faith, where am I plugged in where they can affirm that? So for some of us, we're feeling lonely and disconnected because we're always in professional lane all of the time. What are the other aspects of your intersectional identity? And how can you position yourself to be in that community? Maybe friendships develop. Maybe it's just a community, but either way, you need that kind of support and interaction. And then, you know, get comfortable leveraging technology. I mean, there are apps like Bumble for Friends, which is getting really popular among non-Gen Z users and people who have unconventional work hours or they're new to a city. They're open to using it because it helps them to kind of expedite the process of finding their friends. And I actually personally know women who are professional entrepreneurs who have made accounts and they don't mention anything about what they do for a living because they want to get in the practice of saying, oh, you know, I'm looking for friends that I can, you know, go thrift shopping with or try new restaurants. And they're not talking about their booming tech business because they don't want to lean into that. They know they're tempted to lean into that. And then the last thing I would say is, you know, leverage your super connectors. So these are people who often are like, oh, Tiffany, you should meet my friend Maria, like that girl who's always in the mix. Why not message her and say, hey, I'm trying to get more plugged in and I thought of you because, you know, you're always out and about and doing something cool. And I was just wondering, do you know of any events around town that you feel like are worth checking out? Okay. The subtext of that is I'm looking for new friends. It's just not as direct or intense. But why not leverage somebody else's intel to tell you who to connect with and where to go? Most people I find are happy to help.
What do you think about like breaking into a friendship circle that kind of already exists? So let's just paint a scenario. So let's say there's like five women locally who get together all the time. They're like, yes, you should be a part of our group. And then you go and like, what's the first time like it's not going to be you don't have that relationship built with all of those other women, so I can see it being like sort of awkward, uncomfortable, like do I even belong here, that kind of feeling.
Totally. I'm so glad you asked that because the first time you are with a big group of friends who have been established for a while, all those questions come up. Like I would like to think I'm a confident woman, but even I would be like, okay, what's the vibe here? You know? So that's totally natural. If you're trying to be into a friend group, a couple mistakes I see people make is they try to form a friendship with the group as opposed to with people as individuals. And ultimately it's a mix of individuals and relationships are formed, you know, privately outside of the busy town square of all the group chatter. So how can you manufacture or facilitate moments one-on-one with them? And I don't necessarily mean like, hey, do you want to go off separately to get coffee? But it could just be moments like, you know, when I'm with the group physically all together, you know, when I'm off to the side in the hallway with one, can we have our own thing or have a little banter? But relationships are formed that way as opposed to feeling intimidated because you're trying to, you know, form a relationship with the capital G group, which can be really difficult. And then also, you know, I just want to acknowledge that it can be tricky because you're trying to determine what are the dynamics here? What's the ecosystem here? Who's the one who's kind of like the group leader? Because sometimes that emerges and what's okay to say and what's not. And I totally get all that. But if you're trying to get quote unquote in, I would say look for opportunities to form individual relationships as opposed to trying to fit in to the group.
All right. I want to know your thoughts on this buzzword that I hear all the time. And I think that sometimes it's used a little bit incorrectly. So when it comes to like vulnerability in friendships, what does that look like? And I guess like specifically if we're talking to entrepreneurs, like where does that line kind of like, all right, I need to not be so vulnerable in this instance. I know I asked two questions in one. Sorry, this is like my, this is my Achilles heel.
No, let's do it. I love it. I can keep up. You know, so I'll start with this. Vulnerability, the best way I've heard it defined, is taking a risk of being rejected. That's all it is. I know, however, that when people start talking about vulnerability, the image that many of us conjure up is telling your deep, dark secrets, telling things from childhood, telling it. And that kind of self-disclosure can certainly be vulnerable. But I always say that's like a level 10. We could do some level 2 vulnerabilities because if vulnerability means taking a risk of rejection, vulnerability for you might look like, approaching a woman who you've been admiring from a distance and would always be curious about hanging out with and asking her to hang out. That is very vulnerable. There's a chance here she doesn't feel the same way. There's also an equal chance she's like, wow, I've been thinking the same thing. Let's do it. Initiating a hangout, texting first, asking somebody, if they're upset with you when the vibe feels off instead of pretending you don't notice. I mean, anything that feels like this is a social risk, but I'm going to put myself out there. All of that qualifies as vulnerability. And there's something known as the beautiful mess effect. And they find that we tend to like people more after they've been vulnerable with us. So for the woman who's been reluctant because she only sees vulnerability as, sharing really heavy, dark things. Yes, but it's a bunch of other things too. And I want you to be in friendships where you can say, man, I feel so seen, I feel so known, but it requires something of you to feel that way. And I lost the second question. What's the second question?
Oh yeah, I guess I was talking about like when it comes to owning a business, where does that sort of do you see there needs to be a line on like, okay, that was a little overly vulnerable for me to know as a business owner to business.
Yeah. And that's another thing about vulnerability too, is that it's relative, so that the things that feel risky for me might not for somebody else, and vice versa. So it is a dance, right? And you have to make sure that when you're engaging with people, what cues are you gauging? What evidence have they given you that it's a trustworthy, safe space, that they've demonstrated that they, are not telling other people's business, and that you can, make mistakes in front of them and they're not judgmental. So some of it's a dance. I wouldn't just be coming in hot in this new relationship and I'm sharing all the things and telling you about my business secrets. So it is a dance. It is a game of trying to figure out, has this person demonstrated that I would be safe here to share certain things? And if you find that you feel a certain feeling of regret after having shared, that's totally normal because we're like, oh gosh, maybe I said too much. But maybe if from the beginning you kind of engage in these mutual and reciprocal bids of trust, then you'll feel less regretful after you have shared something with someone.
Yeah, that's really good. Like a very good way to say it, and also great tangible advice that we can just like, okay, take steps as we go. Okay, my next question for you is actually about your book. I was curious how what your book is about and like when people can get a copy and how they can get a copy and why you also felt the need to write a book in the first place.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I didn't really have it as a main goal to write a book, but somebody on social media commented 3 years ago and they're like, man, I would love to just have all of this just in a book. And I thought like, oh, I guess that makes sense to have like a space of consolidated information. And so, excuse me. And so, I was like, okay. And I reached out to different agents. I researched agents who seemed to be able to represent the idea that I wanted to share, and got a lot of no's and then got a few yeses, and we kind of went back and forth and found somebody who felt aligned. And the title of the book is Fighting for Our Friendships, and the idea is to answer the question, why is it that female friendships are deeper than men's friendships but more fragile? Because the research shows that we do report having more former friendships than men and more fallouts. But what's that about? And I just refuse to believe that it's just, well, women are petty. It's so much deeper than that. And so I'm sharing what the research has to say about how we fight, what brings us together, what pulls us apart. And so anybody I think who's really in a female-dominated arena, even if it's work, I think might benefit, hopefully, from reading the book and learning on from a more aerial view the mechanics of women's friendships. And I hope that when people read it, they feel more confident to lean into healthier female friendships.
I am so excited for it. And when is it coming out? And we can get a copy for ourselves.
So it is out on May 7th, and pre-orders are available now.
Okay, perfect. My next question is a personal one, and then I would love for you to share how we can find and connect with you. But my question for you is, how are your best friends, or how were your best friends discovered and found?
Gotcha. Wow, kind of through like a hodgepodge of life. One of my closest friends, we do know each other from high school, and I think it's really beautiful to have somebody who's been with you so long and who has seen you evolve, and you all have adapted and accept each other as you continue to evolve. But two other of my close friends I've met since turning 30, and I'm 36, and I like saying that because I hear women too often who are like, oh, I'm 30, I'm 40. I should have made my friends by now. I should have, you know, and that's just not true. And yeah, two of my closest friends I've met since being 30. And I don't know that we would have been friends with me being the 20 something year old version of myself. I don't know how that would have worked. And I'm so grateful that I've been connected with them at this point in my life because I know what I have to offer. They're teaching me so much. And I think I'm handling these friendships with care in a way that I maybe wouldn't have, you know, 10, 15 years ago, if I'm being honest. So, so I just want any woman who feels like, man, I'm so involved in my business. I don't know if it's possible for me to develop best friendships at this point in my life. It's just simply not true.
And I also love that you didn't say that all of your best friends were from high school, because I think that's the other area where we'll look at friends that are all friends from high school or college and think to ourselves, oh no, we can't make new friendships at this point. So thank you for that reminder. And then just to wrap us up, I'd love for you to share the name of your podcast and how people can find and connect with your work online.
So my podcast is the Friend Forward Podcast, and it drops every Thursday anywhere you listen to podcasts. And the episodes are 15 minutes long. And it's just my way at getting into the nitty gritty of women's friendships. So any friendship related thing you can think of, we're covering on the show. And I feel really proud to have built something that is really just designed in response to women's needs. So it's not me just being so intuitive and knowledgeable. It's me going and looking up, what are women really asking for right now? What are some trends I'm seeing in friendship? What's top of mind? And then digging in, what does the research have to say about how we're feeling right now? And it's been really fun to produce that show. And everything, the book information, the podcast, and all those things, everything lives at betterfemalefriendships.com. And I've been very overwhelmed by how supportive people have been. And it's been such a ride. And I feel privileged that people invite me to come alongside them on their friendship journey.
I mean, you've really tapped into something I think we all need. And it's a wonderful niche that you've carved out for yourself. So thank you so much for being here and sharing your time with us. And I know that everybody listening will be running off to get a copy of your book. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.